This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
There comes the 1-2. Nico hits a bouncer towards short. De La Cruz gloves it, throws to first, and the ball game is over. The Cincinnati Reds have beaten the Chicago Cubs by a score of 6-2.
I think the biggest thing was just my misses were kind of middle. If you go back and look at the homers, they were all kind of middle of the plate.
That was the call as heard here on The Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network, where you can hear every Cubs game. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, as they fall to the Reds 6-2 today out at Wrigley Field. I am live from the Hyundai Score Studios, final hour of The Score evening show, and joining me now on the Circus Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today. He is the founder and editor-in-chief for CubsInsider.com. Pleasure to welcome in Evan Altman. Evan, how are you this evening, my man?
I'm doing great. I am out at the ballpark. I'm watching my son play. So this is decidedly more entertaining than the Cubs game was earlier, so I'll say that much.
A little chilly for you for Little League, or is it good temperature? How we looking?
I mean, it's a little, it got a little overcast. I put on my sunscreen and then it started raining. So, we're fine. I'm a hale and hearty individual. I can handle it.
Evan, I was watching that game today, and I think this is indicative of how I feel about the Cubs this year and how much my mindset has changed in watching the Cubs this year. They were down 6-0, and I was like, yeah, they could do this. And they made some noise there in the eighth and ninth innings and almost did make another comeback. Were you thinking the same thing, and do you feel the same way in watching the Cubs this year?
Yeah, I mean, and we saw it, you know, it happened against the Reds twice last weekend.
Yeah.
Right?
We
saw them come back. You know, they're down big, and then they would come back, and I think there was the statistic that got put up there. They've outscored opponents like this is a few games ago, but it was like 53-3. Over the last three innings of a nine-game stretch or something. You know, so it's just like, oh, no, it's cool. They're just, you know, kind of taking it easy, and they'll put on the afterburners late, but, you know, more of a fake rally today. But you definitely feel like, and they mentioned this on the broadcast as well, right? I was listening to or watching it, and you just say, you know, fans are up and standing when they're down four runs late because they feel like, yeah, this team could do this, and it's a really good vibe they've got going.
How sustainable do you think this offense that we've seen through 50-plus games is for the Cubs?
You know, that's a really good question, especially after we watched kind of how they struggled offensively against a team in the Rockies that, you know, really they shouldn't have. But I do think you know, when you look at how balanced they are, it's not as if, you know, all the headlines are what Pete Crow Armstrong is doing. But if you look up and down, you know, Dansby Swanson started out super cold, and yet the offense was still phenomenal. Now he's hot. You know, they're all picking up the slack for one another. So I think, are we going to talk about this being, you know, as far as in Cubdom, you know, like a historically good offense? That may fade a little bit, but I do think that the balance overall that they have, and as dynamic as they are, right, they have many guys who can hit home runs, many who can just do situational stuff, a lot of them who can steal bases, you know, even if they're not super fast. So I think it'll all kind of balance itself out as we go along, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, is it the thing about the Cubs that's so different this year is the multitude of ways in which they can beat you. We've seen them win, you know, 1-0, 2-1 baseball games, and then win slugouts that are 12-10 or whatever the score might be at the end. This is an offense that can beat you in a number of ways, and whether the wind is blowing in or out at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I mean, and that's I think there's times, you know, in the past where we've seen, and I think a lot of us have wondered, you know, when the offense is stagnating a little bit, why aren't they trying to force the issue? Why aren't they stealing more bases? And now they're doing a lot more of that proactively. They're like that pesky team that doesn't have any power, that has to steal, but they do have power, and yet you're still seeing guys, you know, Kyle Tucker, right? They've got their top superstar. He's going all over the place stealing bases. Matt Shaw's back up. He's able to steal bases. Again, PCA, you know, only the sixth Cub ever with 15 homers and 15 stolen bases before the All-Star break. And he's still got 40 games left to add to that. So that's the fun part to me, is that they can be aggressive even if they're not actually hitting, right? So they can just wear other teams down, and they have to be cognizant of that. You let a guy on the bases, you never know what's going to happen. So other pitchers clearly have that in the backs of their heads.
Talking with Evan Altman, editor-in-chief at CubsInsider.com. And speaking of Kyle Tucker, how much of what we've seen from this offense do you think is the ripple effect of his spot in the batting order, whatever it might be that day, two or three?
Yeah, it's so tough because, you know, in today's age of all the different metrics that we have, and again, I'm a huge believer in all those advanced metrics, but I think there's a lot about what Tucker does from just a psychological point of view, not only to the other team, but to the Cubs themselves, right? Knowing you've got him and you know, PCA notwithstanding, Tucker's a guy who's got that track record. And I think he makes opposing pitchers, opposing managers kind of scheme around him. And you see that they can't just duck him. And so I think that does, it's a rising tide, right? It lifts the rest of the ships. And I think just having a guy like that there too, not just what he does, but knowing what the front office did to what they had to give up to bring him in there, I think shows a lot of confidence in the club as a whole, so everybody feels a little bit better about it. But hard to quantify, but I think it's definitely there.
When you talk about everything that they gave up to get Kyle Tucker in that trade with the Astros, I've said since the trade was made, Evan, and I'm glad Kyle Tucker is here, and I'm enjoying watching him and watching this team win games and just bash teams over the head. But if you don't win a World Series this year or keep that guy in a Cubs uniform for years to come, Jed Hoyer lost that trade. Do you agree with that line of thinking?
Yeah, I mean, unless there's some wild swing they take otherwise, yeah, I think anything like that, and certainly I don't feel like it was a World Series or bust type of move, because that goes against everything that Jed Hoyer and, of course, his predecessor Theo Epstein had said. It's about being consistently competitive, and realistically, to lose a player of that caliber, if they were to do that, really puts a hit on how well you could be consistently competitive into the future, especially again with what they did give up. So, you know, depending on what they do this year and what they're able to do with him, I think that will determine it for sure. It's, you know, at best then it would be a wash, but yeah, they definitely lose it if he's not in a Cubs uniform next year.
Speaking of extensions, or guys that have been rumored to be in talks for extensions, PCA, how surprised are you with the power that he's shown this year? And if you're the Cubs, does it get more urgent every day as you see what this guy is capable of to lock him in at the lowest price you can lock him in at?
Yeah, so I guess to see exactly how, the fact that he's – I really had him pegged easily as a 20 home run a year guy. What he's doing now is clearly ahead of that pace. So
yeah.
That's, you know, slightly surprising, right? If you're on pace to hit 40 plus, I don't think I expected that by any stretch. But I think the thing with the extension, and it cuts kind of both ways, right? Because you look at it and you say, hey, you've still got 5 years of control over him. There's no need to rush. But at the same time, he's only going to get more expensive as those pre-arb years, as the arbitration years continue to roll off. And now you're talking about having to pay more and more and more into free agency. So if they are able to get something done with him, you know, we've seen some of those deals, whether it be Jackson Merrill, Christian Campbell with the Red Sox, you know, some other guys, Lawrence Butler with the A's, who, and we've seen the Braves do it time and time again with a lot of their young players. You can get a serious discount with the way he's playing now. If they're able to lock him up with something in the low nine figures, it could end up being an insane steal for him. So I do think the impetus is there if they can make something happen, because again, it's going to get really, really pricey if they let that go for another couple years before they try to work out an extension.
When I talk about PCA and I say to people, you know, through 50 whatever games it is that they've 57 now that they've played, this guy's a legit MVP candidate. Look at B WAR, F WAR, OPS, whatever you want to look at, home runs, RBIs, stolen defense, whatever you want to look at, this guy's playing baseball at as high a level as anybody in Major League Baseball right now. And people will scoff or roll their eyes and go, okay, but it's 50 games. When can we legitimately talk about PCA as an MVP candidate in the same breath with you know, Shohei Ohtani, who's probably the leading candidate for MVP till further notice?
Yeah, I mean, as long as we're going to have the conversation, we could have started it a month ago about what PCA is doing. And I think among all the things you listed, you know, there is that gentleman out in Los Angeles who does not play the field as of yet, doesn't pitch anymore. And Pete Crow Armstrong, in addition to what he's doing at the plate, is potentially the best defensive player in baseball. The position agnostic, right? And he does play a premium position. So when you add in the defense to all those other things, you look at how many runs he's saving out in center field. And I think honestly, and there's some articles that have been out there about this, so this isn't a really original thought, but I think a lot of people discount how good he is because he makes plays look easy that a lot of other guys would never even make. And so I think he almost gets dinged for that, right? And the things that he's doing, we look at some of the things that he swings too much. You know, his chase rate's high. So people look at these reasons to knock him, and it's like at some point we've just got to sit back and say, hey, this is who this guy is. He's a different kind of player. He doesn't do things the way we would maybe traditionally expect. But for the impact that he's had, and to me, there's an emotional factor about it too. They're out in Tokyo, and fans in Japan are chanting his initials. Fans in opposing ballparks are chanting for him. That's the kind of guy to me that you got to be kind of a transcendent player. And that's what he's becoming, you know, outside of just being this great Cub. People in other fans want to show up and watch this guy play. To me, that's worth a few votes as well.
Talking with Evan Altman of CubsInsider.com here on the Score Evening Show. Craig Counsell said today that Ben Brown would pitch tomorrow, but maybe not start, that they may go with an opener. And shortly after today's game, they announced that'll be Drew Pomeranz, who I think you recommended on Twitter. You recommended that Drew Pomeranz gets to start tomorrow. Where are you at with Ben Brown right now? He seems to really struggle with the first inning, but you can obviously see what's there with that guy.
Yeah, it's the first, and then really like his first time through and then his third time through an order have been pretty brutal. So if you look at his results in the fourth and fifth innings, they're at least as bad as in the first. And it's tough, and that's part of the struggle of a guy who really only has the two pitches. I mean, he's still, you know, continuing to work on that changeup, and I still want to see him throw that a lot more. But when you look at the value that he brings, and you look at what he's done kind of coming out of the bullpen, that hasn't really worked as well either. A lot of people say, oh, you got to use him as a reliever. But if that's the case, you know, he still has to get through his first inning of work, right? And so if you come in as a reliever, that first inning is a much tougher hurdle to overcome, right? So I like the idea of maybe getting him in there, using the opener, kind of finding ways to maybe gamify his bullpen somehow, right? Give him a little bit more competitiveness. Let him get those kinks out, and then once that curveball gets going and if he can get that heater up in the zone, I really, really like him long-term as whether it's a starter or whether the Cubs do kind of move to what the Rays were doing a few years back with using an opener for him a little bit more often. I like him in that role. I think he's better served there than in the bullpen, but they may have to get creative for a while to kind of help him get over this little hurdle here.
I asked you how sustainable the offense is. I'm even – I'm even more curious how sustainable the starting pitching is. When you lose a Justin Steele, you lose Shota, and you're getting what you're getting out of a rotation, and guys like Matthew Boyd and Colin Ray, who before today had been very good. They need to add at least one arm between now and the trade deadline. Do they not, Evan?
Yeah, I think that's an absolute must at this point, right? You look at it, and as you mentioned with Ray, of course, he had kind of a rough outing against the Reds the last time out. We're seeing him leave, and I think that was the quote that that was on before I came on here. He's been leaving that fastball out over the middle. We saw him really early on working those inside-outside corners and showing more velocity. How sustainable that is, I have serious questions about. Again, same thing with Matt Boyd, has been very serviceable, but that's not a guy who you need to be kind of your number two, number three. And right now, even once Imanaga comes back, now Cade Horton, I think, is a guy who, if we see him continue to show the growth he has, he could be that dude, you know, as they say, up there at the top. But right now, I don't think you look at this team and say, I'm comfortable putting their top three against, you know, insert team here's top three once you get to the postseason, and that's where it really is going to start to matter. So they might be fine for now, but if they don't get at least one more top-line starter, I think they're really going to start to feel that once you get deep into the season and certainly into the playoffs.
That pitch that Cade Horton threw the other day that had about 6 inches of break to the glove side, and then he said after the game that was not intentional, that it kind of rolled off his finger the wrong way. Can they figure out how it rolled off his finger and how he could recreate that consistently in the future?
Oh, my goodness, yeah, because that was like a demon cutter four-seam kind of a hybrid. If anybody can do it, I tell you what, it's Tyler Zombro working there in that front office with the pitchers. That guy is a genius, and so I think a lot of the credit for what the Cubs pitchers have been doing should go to him, rightfully so, and the rest of the pitching infrastructure. But, man, if that thing's working, if he can figure out a way to do that intentionally, that's just insane. That's the kind of thing that Pitching Ninja will have a field day with, and it's pretty fun to watch. So if that's a mistake, you know, imagine what the guy can do when he really intends on doing it.
Yeah, that thing was nasty. The last facet of the team that I haven't asked you about yet, Evan, is maybe the most mystifying facet of this baseball team, because whether it's through injury or just guys blowing up in their face, like Ryan Pressly, their original closer, they just seem to keep finding arms in the bullpen and getting at least a certain level of performance, not the best in baseball, but a certain level of performance that almost defies the odds or logic when you look at how they've sort of settled on the guys that are now, you know, in the circle of trust, so to speak, for Craig Counsell.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we mentioned Drew Pomerantz already, right? A guy who kind of was a reclamation project there. You look at a guy like Chris Flexen, who hadn't pitched in Pomerantz hadn't pitched in the majors. Flexen, Chicago fans will remember, at least on the South side, not very fondly for the performance that he had with the White Sox. You know, even on a team that was that bad, he kind of stood out as not having a very solid year. But I think what they've been able to do is find some of these guys who have, you know, they found some tweaks with them. And, you know, Pomeranz's velocity was up a little bit, and they spotted that. And Flexen kind of lowered his arm slot, something we're seeing actually pretty broadly across baseball. And I think there's something to it. When you get some of these veterans who have been around for a while, whether they're transitioning to the pen late in their careers or whatever the case may be, you know, they've got nothing to lose. They're not out there trying to force anything. They're not these young guys who I think are trying to get a little too fine or too cute. They're just going out there and letting it eat, and that's kind of fun to watch. So I think it's a mentality thing as much as stuff or anything else. Not much of it, if you look at it, not a lot really stands out. But along those lines, the one I will call out is just a huge pickup is Brad Keller.
Yep.
You know, a guy who all of a sudden is just like, he didn't even realize how hard he was throwing. Like, he's out there throwing triple digits. And he's kind of like mystified by himself, but yeah, they've picked up these guys who have like found a new tool all of a sudden, and that's what's really fun. I mean, I like that some people, myself included, have griped about it a little bit, about them maybe not spending as much money on the pen as what we like, but it's hard to argue with the results of late, especially with, as we just talked about, the rotation hasn't been quite as strong, and the bullpen has really stepped up, and that's pretty cool to see with some of these guys kind of getting a second or third lease on life in the pen with the Cubs right now.
Evan, I do got to get to break, but one more real quick one for you here. Articles keep popping up that, you know, the Pirates aren't going to trade Paul Skeens, but if they did, and the Cubs name keeps popping up in those articles, the latest from Jim Bowden at The Athletic, who he proposes a package – of Cade Horton, Matt Shaw, Kevin Alcantara, and Juan Thomas, the 17-year-old shortstop. Juan Tomas, the 17-year-old shortstop. You making that move, Evan, or no?
I mean, no, just because I'll say no because this is just never going to happen. Right? I'm just like, I don't even want to entertain the idea. I just feel like that's the kind of thing that the other GM, you know, the Pittsburgh just hangs up the phone and laughs at you for anything like that. But I mean, it'd be awesome. Would I love seeing Paul Skeens in blue pinstripes? Heck yeah. But there's no way the Pirates are going to do that at this point. They'll wait a few years and then trade him to the Yankees.
That's Evan Altman, editor-in-chief of CubsInsider.com. Go check out his work there. Love the background noise and the ambiance during the call. Somebody made some real good contact a few minutes ago. I don't know who it was, but the ping of the bat sounded very, very solid, Evan, and I appreciate your time and your insight out there, sir.
Hey, no problem. I'm appreciating you having me on and putting up with me sitting here at the ballpark. So have a great rest of the show.
I appreciate you. And he joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com is where you can find that. I love that. And I wasn't putting up with it. I love the sound of Little League Baseball. That was great. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, Ben Johnson and some of his veterans say the culture is changing. The culture is already changing for the Chicago Bears. You buying it? We'll talk about that right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf in the Score Evening Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Biggest thing I can say is just really being a dog. I mean, I fight for me, the time I was there, just listening to him talk, getting to know him a little bit. Just, I feel like he has that dog mentality as a coach. And then even bringing in Dennis Allen, getting to know him, getting to know what type of defense he wants us to run and how he wants us to be. I feel like we just get the opportunity to be dogs. I feel like they look for matchups. They're going to match us up, of course, on defense to be able to get after guys. And then on offense, we all know what Ben Johnson is about, getting everybody involved, being able to set the tone, be aggressive. But I mean, I'm looking forward to it. They set a real tone for us this year and just being aggressive, dominating, coming in and being who we are.
There's Jalen Johnson, Bears cornerback on FS1. Rami Makhlouf with you on the Score Evening Show up until 9 o'clock. And he's talking there about the culture and Ben Johnson, a dog, as he called him, and hopefully setting the culture that everyone is going to be a dog for the Bears. I want to talk about that culture and all the chatter about culture here in just a minute with you, but holding on patiently while I was talking with Evan Altman to get in on some Bears talk I was having earlier in the show. I want to get in Brad in Rockford. Brad, thanks so much for hanging on, man. How you doing? What you got?
Hey, Rami. Thanks for taking the call. You have an awesome show. Awesome addition to the Score. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
So I think something that's been missing from this whole, we'll put this to bed after my point, the whole Caleb Williams not knowing how to watch film. So it's not just that, it's a valid point that he didn't know how to watch film as a professional, but I think it's more so that he didn't have the coach, the godfather, the maker of the offense sitting next to him to point out what the offense was. How are you going to know what to look at if or the nuances of the offense if the coach isn't there to look at it? He can see all sorts of things, but what are we doing with this offense?
Yeah, there's a lot of things about watching, and I couldn't even tell you what they were, because if I could, I'd be a coach or I'd be a quarterback in the NFL. I did have a rocket for an arm, but there are things that you need to learn about watching tape at the NFL level, at a professional level, that Caleb Williams wouldn't just know walking in the door, that almost no quarterback would just know walking in the door. So yeah, man, I didn't think that wasn't a strike against Caleb Williams at all when that story first surfaced to me. I guess he was catching some flack or some criticism of people saying, "What, you don't know how to watch tape? You got through college football and got to the NFL, and you don't know how to watch film?" And no, man, nobody does. Like maybe like a Peyton Manning knows how to watch tape at a professional level when he gets to the league. But that's a rare instance. Those guys
and
far between. Right.
His dad played in the pros, so he probably had a lot to help in that area.
Exactly. Yeah, and Caleb Williams doesn't quite have that. Like I said, I want to get into a conversation about the culture of the Bears and how much Ben Johnson can change that, because there's already a lot of talk, and I'm going to put this disclaimer on this segment before you call me a wet blanket or say I hate Ben Johnson or however you're going to twist this or misinterpret or take out of context. I'm here for the Ben Johnson era. That was the guy I wanted them to hire as the head coach for many, many reasons. For many reasons, I wanted Ben Johnson to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And so what I'm about to say has very little to do with Ben Johnson and him as an individual, his coaching acumen. This is a Bears fan. Okay. This is a Bears fan who they just happen to give a microphone to. You know what I mean? And I don't know if you, the Bears fan out there, feel the same way that I feel here, but I've heard enough talk over my years as a Bears fan about changing the culture of this football team. And so let me just play the sound bites and then I'll say what I need to say about this, because you hear a lot about the intensity of these practices that Ben Johnson is running and how demanding he is as a head coach and the demeanor that he brings to the field. Here's Kevin Byard, the safety, on the culture of this football team under Ben Johnson.
I think the mission, especially right now, early in this spring, is trying to set the culture right. I mean, just to be honest, this organization over the last, I don't know, 10 years or whatever, like, it's been a losing culture in a way. We haven't really won a lot. So you have to drastically come in and try to rearrange everything, because that whatever we've been doing hasn't been working. And I think that's the beauty of obviously the guys they brought in the past couple of years with Poles and trying to reshape the roster. It's all about trying to go in and win right now. But it takes, you know, a culture of, rather if it's being details, the accountability and all that stuff. We're trying to hold everybody to the highest level, and we're trying to do it ourselves as well. So like you said, with DA and Ben, I think that's the main thing we're trying to get accomplished, is really shifting the culture, changing the culture, and not trying to do what we've done in the past and just try to look forward towards the future.
There's Kevin Byard on the culture shift within the Chicago Bears under Ben Johnson. Here's one of the guys that I think they brought in to change the culture and to sort of set the tone for this football team. Grady Jarrett, the defensive tackle, on the culture that he's seen already since walking in the door.
This ain't a program where it's like, you know, you try to be guy friends to pat them to, you know, hopefully they'll buy in. No, it's you got to get with it. You know, I've been around for a long time, and that's the kind of culture you have to set, you know, early, because, you know, when the expectations are high, that's what you want.
Am I the only one who, until I see this Bears organization transform, and until I see the talk of culture shifts actually translated into wins and a good locker room and a smart football team that just kind of rolls their eyes? And again, not because of Ben Johnson, not because I don't believe in Ben Johnson, but because A, I've heard this a lot before. I was talking with Cassie Carlson earlier, and she brought up Matt Eberflus and his hits system, which we all laugh at now, you know what I mean? And some of us were laughing about it then, but in the building they weren't laughing about it. They were all,
you know, we put
selling
in the hits principle.
Exactly. They were all selling the line that they had bought into the hits principle, and this is different than what we've seen before, and there's been a culture shift within the Chicago Bears. When Matt Nagy got hired, remember, there was, oh, this is an offensive-minded head coach. He brings a little bit more flair to the job, a little bit more energy to the job. This is a culture shift for the Bears from John Fox. When they brought John Fox in, that was, remember that things had kind of fallen apart under Mark Trestman, and it was a little bit chaotic in the locker room, and this guy was the veteran coach and the steadying presence that they needed to shift the culture. And when Mark Trestman was hired, that was a change from the culture of Lovie Smith and his very
problem.
Exactly, his very reserved way of doing things and putting so much on the defense and just asking the offense to kind of not lose games for you. That was the culture shift. Like, I can only go through so many culture shifts or people telling me there's been a culture shift before I start to go, and really this is the case with a lot of things, Bears, before I go, show me. You know what I mean? Show me. Show me that this is different, and because I'm not buying it until then. You know what the Bears' culture has been? Because we can talk about, oh, they're dogs. You know what I mean? He's fiery when he's out there on the field. The Bears' culture has been incompetence. That's been the Bears' culture, and that's not just coaching. The Bears' culture has been incompetence, and it has spread throughout the organization.
Why?
And I don't know that they've necessarily gotten to the bottom of that. Like, since George McCaskey became the Bears' chairman in 2011, they fired 3 GMs, 5 head coaches, 3 offensive coordinators. In 14 years, they have 2 winning seasons, 2 playoff berths, 0 playoff wins, and 93-130 record. That's not just because they haven't had good coaches. That's organizational incompetence that starts with George McCaskey, that goes down to the presidents that he's had. And I hope Kevin Warren is the guy, and he's up there at the top, setting the right culture of a certain level of competence. Then you got Ryan Poles and the GM and his whole staff. There needs to be a certain level of competence there when it comes to culture. Then we get to Ben Johnson. Then we get to the head coach and his hand in the culture that the Bears will eventually have. But all that above him needs to be hashed out, and we need some competence in those areas as well. And then when we move past Ben Johnson and get to this roster, I know a lot of people think that was a really good roster last year that somehow finished 5-12 and lost 10 games in a row. And from a talent standpoint and what they have on paper, maybe it is. But to me, the gaps in the culture last year We can't chalk that all up to Matt Eberflus.
This is our concern, dude.
Exactly. You can't chalk up the lack of culture or the poor culture that they had last year entirely to Matt Eberflus. Some of that had to be coming from the bottom up and from the locker room, and something is rotten there. Even if it might look good on paper and there's a lot of talent and we like how big or how fast some of these guys are, how well they catch the football or whatever it is that looks good to us when we're watching a football game, there is something missing there. And if Ben Johnson is going to change the culture, I got bad news for you. It's probably not going to happen overnight for all the reasons that I've already stated, plus the fact that he's going to have to weed through this roster. And he has to see who are, as Jalen Johnson put it in talking about Ben Johnson, who are the dogs and who are the guys that you maybe need to shed and replace because they're not bringing the right mindset or the right culture to the table. There's so much that needs to happen for the culture of the Bears to change that I'm not just going to put that on Ben Johnson to change it single-handedly with his demeanor, with his mental acumen, with any of that, because it goes out so much further than Ben Johnson. He's a big part of it. He's one of the pillars that sets the culture for this organization. But, man, I'll believe it when I see it, that the Bears, not Ben Johnson single-handedly and alone, but that the Bears have changed their culture, and they got some competence in that building from the tippity top all the way down to the bottom. It's going to take a lot to change the culture. Not that it can't be done, not that it's not being done, but I'll believe it's being done when I see it. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. There's a debate going on right now that I did not think we'd be having, and it's about flag football. And I want to discuss it right after this. It's Robbie Maklouf. It's the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score Evenings, weeknight 6 till 9.
That's the show. Rami Makhlouf with you for a few more minutes here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. There's a debate raging in the sports world right now about who should represent the United States of America at the 2028 Olympics in the sport of flag football, which not really sure why that's an Olympic sport, to be quite frank with you, but it is. Probably just because it's going to be in America and they wanted to add an American sport. I think they do that for the Olympics as it moves around the world. They add sports for the local interest. And so flag football will be a part of the 2028 Olympics. And I did not know. I don't know how many of you out there knew that we already had a Team USA flag football team. I did not know that was a thing. That's a thing that there's a Team USA flag football team that apparently, like, they've had tryouts, I guess. There's a team. There's a Team USA flag football team, and they want to go out and represent Team USA football, and I think most people are like, yeah, no, why don't we send the best that we got it to go play flag football? And I honestly don't even know why the owners voted to allow this, to allow NFL players to go and play in the Olympics. It's just, I'm not a big Olympics guy. And if I'm an NFL owner who's paying millions to these guys, I don't want to risk them going out and, you know, tearing an ACL or blowing up their Achilles to win a flag football game. But that's just me. That's just me. They have voted, and now they can go and play. NFL players can go and play in the Olympics in 2028 in the flag football if they want to. And this debate is raging of, should it be NFL players? Should it be these flag football players? And the other day on their podcast, the Kelce Brothers podcast, The Heights, they had an idea. Jason Kelce specifically had an idea for how we could settle this thing.
Let's just have a team of flag football NFL players play these guys and see if they can win. May the best team win. I think a coach that is familiar with flag football should select an NFL represented team. And that team should just play this flag football team that's been playing for a long time and feels like they are the best at it and they don't need other guys. And then whoever wins.
This is like a Mystery Alaska.
Pretty much.
This is awesome. Well, Mystery Alaska won.
Because I do agree. Like, I do agree. If these guys are the best, they should represent USA.
100%.
I mean, I don't know anything about flag football. I feel really confident they're not the best. If they're the best team, they should represent us. But I feel like if we put Lamar Jackson, Tyreek Hill.
Do you think it's as easy as putting Tyreek Hill outside and having Lamar just throw a go ball to Tyreek?
I think that alone would probably be pretty effective. I don't know what skills you want, but I feel like just speed is usually pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know who these jokers are that are part of Team USA flag football as is, but I got a feeling that if you fielded not even the best NFL players, like B-tier NFL players, and put them out there and lined them up against Team USA flag football in a flag football game, even though it's a different style of football, something tells me they'd figure it out. Something tells me those guys would figure it out and they'd probably win and win handily against Team USA flag football, whatever that is, whatever it might look like. That I'd watch it. I'd watch it if they did that, if they had those two teams play against each other and winner goes to the Olympics. I'd watch that just for the spectacle of it. But yeah, man, can you imagine, like, Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or one of these guys lining up with Tariq Hill or whoever might be the other wide receiver? Like, it would be an absolute bloodbath.
The absolute The absolute arrogance of these Jamokes who look, I respect you. I play flag football still. I have fun doing it. But the absolute arrogance to think that, yeah, we could go up against NFL players and be fun. No, you couldn't.
These guys
get together once a year for the Pro Bowl and just play flag football for no reason. And you watch that and you say, oh, yeah, we could totally beat. You really think that you can get open against Jalen Johnson? I guarantee you couldn't. Keenan Allen was having trouble getting open against him last year in training camp. I mean, come on.
It's ridiculous.
Who do you think? The guy, I know a little bit about this. The quarterback is really confident in himself. The flag football team quarterback. I can't remember
Darryl
his name.
Darryl Doucette III.
That's the guy. He thinks he's better than Patrick Mahomes. Sir, listen, you're not. You're just not. I respect that. Look, and I agree with the Kelce brothers. If they go up against each other and they somehow beat NFL players, absolutely. Send them on, then they should represent us. But there's no way that's happening. Like you said, I would argue you could send the third team unit of the Panthers out against these guys and they would win.
You're probably right.
That's how confident I am in this.
People don't. At least a lot of people don't, and it sounds like Darryl Doucette doesn't. By the way, in this article I'm reading at USA Today, they call him flag football star, Darryl Doucette III.
Star's doing a lot of lifting there.
Star is doing a lot of lifting, yes. He says, and I quote, "The flag guys deserve their opportunity. We felt like we worked hard to get the sport to where it's at, and when the NFL guys spoke about it, it was like we were getting kicked to the side. I felt like I was the guy who could speak out for my peers, for my brothers, that's been working hard to get to this level for us not to be forgotten." Well, okay, dude. And before the clip that we played there of Jason Kelce and his idea, Travis Kelce made a good point, which is, like, if you think you're that good, why are you scared of competition? If you think you're better than Patrick Mahomes, why wouldn't you want to hold a tryout where you and Patrick Mahomes both compete for the position or for the job or the right to go and represent the USA in the Olympics? You know you're not good enough. You know you're not good enough. And that's why you don't want people even entertaining the thought of these NFL players coming in and doing it. And with all due respect, because flag football has blown up in popularity here in recent years, and these guys, I guess, deserve a lot of the credit for that, but that's not what this is about. And again, I'm not a big Olympics guy. I don't care for or about the Olympics, but it's about sending your best. It's about sending your best to go and compete and show the rest of the world who you are and what you can do. And if that's what we're doing, well, then let's do that. For all you've done to grow the sport, for talking about winning and sending our best over there, you're not Patrick Mahomes, dude. And if you think you are better than Patrick Mahomes, then compete against him in some way, shape, or form. A tryout, the scrimmage that Jason Kelce pitched, do something. But you're not, and you're going to lose. You're going to lose badly at that, and then you're going to watch Patrick Mahomes or whoever else. By the way, Patrick Mahomes said not interested. I'll leave that to younger guys. But you'll watch them go and win a gold medal, and it'll be an absolute bloodbath, the likes of which we haven't seen since the original Dream Team in basketball.
And that's why I want the NFL players to go. As the best NFL players we can possibly. The world needs to know how badly they messed up here. This shouldn't be. I want NFL players to go out there, not give up a point the whole tournament. Because, like, can you imagine some chump from, you know, the middle of nowhere, Ireland, trying to get open against Sauce Gardner? Like, I mean, just the absolute. It would be so fun to watch. I'm all for this.
This could be a very good fool around and find out moment for the rest of the world deciding they want to add football to the Olympics. My thanks to that man you just heard, Adam Studzinski, for lining up a very, very good show for us tonight, including Cassie Carlson from Fox Chicago, who joined me, Evan Altman from CubsInsider.com. Missed either of those conversations or anything on today's show, check it out at 670thescore.com or on your Odyssey app. And also thanks to you for listening and contributing. Till next time, Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening to the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
get this train going and you know, have this thing picking up steam and choo-chooing along.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.